In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have in this morning's gospel passage from Luke what we might call the third installment of an Easter trilogy. 2 weeks ago on Easter morning, we heard the account from John's gospel of Mary Magdalene encountering the risen Christ at the empty tomb. Last Sunday, we learned of that skeptic for the ages, Doubting Thomas, who was apparently out running errands when Jesus appeared to his disciples, though Thomas eventually did, a week later, encounter the risen Christ in the flesh. And this morning's gospel reading from Luke brings us the Road to Emmaus story, where two of his disciples walk with the risen Christ along the road, not knowing who he is. Each of these events happens on the very same day, the day of the resurrection. And each of these Easter stories has as its central message to us that Jesus of Nazareth has been raised from the dead. But each story is also trying to teach us something distinct. Today, we'll look at what the Road to Emmaus resurrection story may be trying to tell us. In the church, when you say road to, most people follow these words with Damascus. Now, if you're a fan of Bob Hope, Bing Crosby movies from the 40s, you might say road to Singapore or road to Zanzibar. But most of us would likely connect road to with Damascus, where mercifully neither Bing Crosby nor Bob Hope nor Dorothy L'Amour ever traveled. Mind reels at what that movie would have looked like. The Road to Damascus is the story from the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, where the apostle Paul was traveling on his way to the Syrian city to persecute the followers of Jesus, is blinded by a great light from above. Paul falls from his horse and hears a voice from heaven saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" The voice is Jesus, and Saul becomes Paul, a follower and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so we say, I had a road to Damascus experience, when we've had a radical change of heart that comes seemingly out of the blue and changes the course of our life. But do we ever say, I had a road to Emmaus experience? What might a road to Emmaus experience look like? Well, first off, unlike with Paul going to Damascus, we don't know why those disciples were walking down that road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. We do get the feeling, however, of a certain listlessness, an absence of intense purpose. While Paul was laser-focused on his destination and his goal of persecuting the Christians in Damascus, where Paul was filled with anger and indignation while on the road to Damascus, the disciples on the road to Emmaus were filled with disappointment and grief and confusion. In fact, maybe the reason they were on the road to Emmaus that day was simply to have somewhere to go. You can hear how despondent they are when the disciples say of Jesus, "We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped." Now remember, they are speaking of this great disappointment even after they'd heard that Jesus was alive. They say, "Some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive." Even this news was not enough to crack through their crushing disappointment, because they had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. These disciples of Jesus were hoping for a specific outcome to happen in a specific way. When that didn't come to pass, they wandered down the road to Emmaus, despondent, hopeless. That's a long walk when you're in that state of mind. Those 7 miles must have felt like 100. How many of us have had these road to Emmaus experiences? Times when we thought a great hope of ours would be realized. And when it wasn't, we didn't know what to do other than to keep walking. But of course, that's only the first part of the Road to Emmaus experience. The other half of the Road to Emmaus experience is the disciples' encounter with the risen Lord. Even though they don't know at the time who he is, they say later, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road?" Those of you who have lived through a gut-wrenching loss, as the disciples had that week, know how your heart can be lifted by the presence of a friend, by a kind word, or even a silent embrace. The disciples say of Jesus, "While he was talking to us on the road." But of course, he was also walking with them, traveling with them. Not because Jesus himself had any reason to go to Emmaus. In fact, the gospel says, as they came near to the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. Jesus travels with the disciples because he wants to be with them. Lastly, the disciples recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread, and they had faith and hope once more. Notice, they still didn't know what the future would hold for them. Jesus didn't break the bread and then say, "Now I will redeem Israel by throwing out the Roman occupiers and taking up my throne at the center of Jerusalem, from which I will wield political power and dispense justice, and you're coming with me." Instead, the disciples recognized Jesus, and he vanished. They still didn't know what the future would hold for them, but now they had hope and joy in their hearts because Jesus was alive. None of us knows our future either, do we? Like the disciples, we can sense God's love and presence in our lives, and then at times lose hope and wander down the road. And we need our brothers and sisters to walk with us and to break bread with us, that we might recognize Christ and have hope once again. Perhaps that's what a Road to Emmaus experience looks like. Perhaps when we're walking down the path, not really knowing what's around the next turn in the road, feeling hopeless and being confused about God's presence in this world and our lives, and then we're comforted by the presence and words of someone else, maybe even a stranger we meet along the way, and we get once again a glimpse of God and a spark of hope, we can say that we've had a Road to Emmaus experience. And sometimes we ourselves are called to be that stranger along the way. Amen.